to the Word this morning, and we are in the series of the names of God, and what we're doing is we're going taking seven names that has been given to God in the Old Testament, and each of these names, they kind of give and kind of expresses the character of God, amen. And today we're going to see the name of Jehovah Shema, amen, which means the Lord is there, amen. But before I start reading, before I start doing anything else, I just want to pray, amen, so we can jump into the Word. Father God, thank you so much for this great opportunity, Father, that you gave us to be here, Father, as your children, Father, of your people, Father. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach, Father, the privilege to unpack. I know it's a great responsibility also, Father. Father, I pray that you help me, Father, to be as clear as I can, Father. And Father, that your words will come and minister, Father, in any level, in any way, Father, you want to minister my brothers and sisters here, Father. Thank you so much for what you have done for us on the cross, Father. And thank you because it's only through Jesus that we can be safe and that we have the ability and opportunity to stand here, Father, in your house, Father. Thank you so much for everything. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. I just want to mention that at the end of the message, we're going to have a time of communion and a time of worship. And if you need prayer, we're going to be praying for you. Amen. If you need any prayer, any kind of prayer, healing, maybe you have a family need or anything, we will have the opportunity. Amen. So you can hold on to your communion cup there if you got one. If no, you will have an opportunity to get one after the message. Amen? So let's open the Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 35. And then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And this, and Isaiah is one was, I'm going to spend the majority of my message there. Amen? But I just wanted to give you kind of like a background that what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. So Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 35 says this. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be The Lord is There. Say with me, The Lord is There. Amen. So the Hebrew name for this, you know, when you read it in the Hebrew, it says Yahweh Shema or Jehovah Shema, amen, which means the Lord is there. So now, it doesn't make sense when we read it just that scripture, but if you read the scriptures before, it kind of gives you a description of the city that that the Lord is going to allow the Israelites to reveal and to put the temple of the Jewish there. Amen. So he's kind of describing. So now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of historical background about this. Is this that the Jewish abandoned God by not keeping his commandments and going and worshiping idols. Amen. So what God did is that he released them and says, okay, if you want to follow those idols, if you want to worship them, if you don't want to keep my commandments, okay, I'm just going to let you do what you want to do, and I'm going to withdraw my presence from you guys. So what happened is the Babylonians came, and they conquered Israel, and they took him to Babylon, amen? For 70 years, they were there in exile because of their sin and because of them being worshiping idols and not keeping God's commandment. So then after a while, you know, after a few years, they became, the Babylonian people began to treat the Jewish really bad. They began to just slaver them. And they began to cry out to God in the midst of their desperation. So then God raised Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, to give him a promise and a prophecy to the Israelites during that time. And basically was that, you know, that God was going to come and deliver them one more time from the Babylonians, and they were going to be able to go back to Jerusalem and build the city, rebuild the city and the temple there again to worship him again. So basically, what God was promising is saying, I know that my presence is not with you, but one day I'm going to allow you, I'm going to come back to you. Remember this, for the Jewish people, the temple represents what? God's presence. Amen? So for them, not having the temple to worship or being able to worship their God, it means that God is not there with us anymore. So that's why God gives us this promise through Ezekiel. It says, one day I'm going to come and I'm going to deliver you, and you're going to be able to go back and rebuild and worship me again. My presence will be there. And here is where they give the name of the city will be called Jehovah Shema, which means the Lord is there. Amen? His presence is there. So now, we need to understand that us as a Christians, as Gentiles, we're not Jewish, but we know Jesus, and through Jesus we're being saved. Amen? So for the Jewish, they need a temple to go to the God's presence. For us as Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, we can go to God's presence. Amen? Amen? So the Bible says that Jesus fulfilled the law, and Jesus was he lived a perfectly life, and through him we can have a relationship with God, and we can have that opportunity to go into his presence. Amen? So now we don't need a temple. We don't need a building to be in God's presence. Listen to this, because I don't want you to walk out of these doors and saying, oh, the pastor says that we don't have to come to church anymore. Listen to what I'm saying. We do not need a building to experience God's presence in our lives. Amen? However, it's a very special thing when we gather here together as his church, and together we worship, and we're in his presence worshiping. Amen? It's very special. And that's why Paul encourages the church and says, don't stop what? Come and gather in together to worship. Amen? Why? Because even we don't need a building, but we are his church. And when we come together, something special about that moment in this time. Amen? Of course, you can worship God in your house. You can worship God in your car. You can worship whatever. But it's just something special when we are here as his church together. Amen? We sing something and we come into his presence to worship. And there's something special about that. Amen? So we should not be stopped doing that. Amen? So now let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. And what I want to speak, my subtitle of this title of my message is In His Presence. And I want to talk about the presence of God and how to come into his presence and what happens when we come into his presence. Amen? So let's read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 17. And I again apologize if my English is not that clear, but that's why you have the letters there so you can follow me. Amen? It says this. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, sitting on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they will cover their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another. This is what they were shouting and saying. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4. At that sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with the smoke. Remember, in the Old Testament, the smoke represents God's presence. Okay? Verse 5 says, woe to me, I cry, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Verse 6, the ones, then a seraphim, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he has taken with tongue from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and say, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. So what I want to leave is 3 points here, man. How can we come into the right way to come into God's presence? And what happens when we come into his presence? Amen? So my first point that I want to give here is in verse 6. And I'll start here with my first point is, when we come into God's presence, we see first how big God is. Amen? Say with me, how big God is. We need to understand, and let's see what happens here in this passage of Isaiah. Says this. It says, in the year of the king Uzziah died, and I just want to stop right there, okay, to point something very important. King Uzziah was a very good king. He was king for 52 years. He became king when he was 16. So for 52 years, he was a king. Now, he did a couple of things wrong in the eyes of God, you know, towards the end of his life. And God sent leprosy for him because he went into the temple and offered sacrifice. And the priest told him, no, you can't do that because you're not a priest. And since he was the king, he got prideful and says, yes, I can, I'm the king. So he offered sacrifice, and then God sent him this disease, you know, like the leprosy. Then the Bible says that he was since that day, he couldn't return to God's temple because he wasn't unclean, you know. So he died like that, but still, you know, he was a very good king compared to other kings. He really did a good job protecting Israel, from his enemies. So in this time when Isaiah is in the temple worshiping God, it's after this king died. So his son took over, but his son wasn't doing a really good job about protecting Israel. So Isaiah the prophet was worshiping in the temple, and he was concerned about that the enemies were going to come now and take over Israel. So he's worshiping in the temple, you know, with all this concern in his heart, you know, worry about that, what's going to the future of Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Maybe you come to the church from a week of maybe you have a lot of concerns. Maybe you are worried about things, you know. Maybe you are worried about your family. Maybe you worry about your job. Maybe you worry about many things, your marriage. And you come into God's presence and you're worried and you're overwhelmed with all those things. Isaiah was in the same place. He was worried about the future of Israel. So now he's in God's presence one day. And then let's see what happens. He began to have a revelation, an encounter with God right there in the temple. And then he's praying, and all of a sudden, let's continue reading. It says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, sitting on the throne. Amen? And the train of his robe filled the temple. If we go to verse 3, I mean, he's describing what he sees, you know. He sees the Lord is in his throne, and then the angels are worshiping. And this is very important. And it says what the verse 3 says, the angels or the seraphims were declaring this, or they were saying this, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen? Yes, amen. So he's in the temple worshiping, and he sees this. He sees God there in the throne and the angels worshiping him. I just want to say this, you know, right now, from the eternity into the eternity, and right at this moment, the angels in heaven are worshiping God. Hallelujah. Constantly. Amen? Yeah. They're being created to worship God. Amen? So the people, the scholars, the people who study the Bible, they say that the one The reason they have to be constantly worshiping is because one holy, it's not enough to describe the holiness of God. So they have to be repeating holy, holy, because it's not enough. 100 holies, that is not enough to comprehend or to grasp the holiness of God and the fullness. Amen? Amen? So from the eternity to the eternity, they're constantly worshiping and saying, holy, holy, and declaring, because it's never enough for that great of a God that we have. Amen? So he sees how God is, how big God is. And let me tell you something. There, when you come into God's presence, when we come here and we gather and worship in him, you have to realize how big God is. And how big is the God that you are worshiping. You have to realize that. Amen? Some of us, you know, sometimes we come and of course we have things in our minds. You know, we have worries, we have things. But when you come into his presence, your God is bigger than the things that you can be facing in your life. So you have to come into his presence realizing, God, I know that I have all these worries, but I know you're bigger because you are there, you are in heaven, and you are worthy to be worshipped. The angels are worshiping you. You are a big God. Amen? But what happens so many times is we come and we overwhelm, and we let that overwhelm and that worry affect our worship and diminish how big our God is. Amen? And then we walk up out of these doors in the same way because we need to change our perspective when we come into his presence. Amen? And so my next point is this. So the first point was that when we come into God's presence, we see how big God is. And second point is this. When we are in his presence, we come into his presence, we see how small and sinful we are. Amen. Let me tell you, it's a very healthy way to feel small and sinful, because that produces on you repentance in your life. Amen. So it's a very healthy way. Now, let's see what verse 5 says this of Isaiah 6 says, woe to me, I cry, I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Notice something. As soon as he walks into God's presence, right, he sees this vision. He sees God and the throne, and then he realizes how sinful he is. He realizes his condition. Amen? So when you come into God's presence, you need to realize your condition. You need to realize who you are. And I just want to say this. In our society, you know, doctors and psychologists and counselors and people, you know, wants to help people to understand how valuable they are, right, in our society. You know, you see everywhere, right? People feel like they're not worthy of anything, you know, and they try to help people to understand, okay, you have some value in your life, you know, you're worth this, you're worth that. Now, I understand the point of helping people because I know that there's people who are being hurt deeply by people or by the parents, you know, or family members, and they feel they grow up and they feel like they don't have any value in their lives, so because whatever reason, you know? And I get that point to get help, you know what I mean? But let me tell you something. When we come into God's presence, your confidence, your abilities, your money, your influence, your accomplishments, nothing that means anything before and when you stand and when you stand before a holy God, like the God that we worship. Amen? Amen? So when Isaiah realizes he sees God and how big and how majestic he is, then he realizes how small he is. He realizes how sinful he is. And this is a very healthy way, my friends, to come into God's presence, to know, God, I have nothing to offer. Whoever I am, I have nothing to offer that can but value of who you are. I have nothing. Amen? And I'm very concerned about this because, you know, nowadays, you know, we've seen so much about this idea, you know, that you are worth a lot, you know, use this and that. And I understand the idea behind. Don't get me wrong, you know. And sometimes it can go into the preaching, you know, that God loves you. And we talked about so much of God's love. Yes, of course, God loves us. He sent his son for us, amen, to be saved. And we should preach God's love. But sometimes we often forgive this other part of God's nature, that he doesn't need us to be God, amen. God has always been God. From the eternity, he will be God to eternity, amen. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our worship for him to feel like he's God. Amen? He is God. And we are not. We're small and we're so. We cannot add anything to God so he can be more holy or more complete than what he already is. Amen? So we need to understand that, because that's a very healthy way to see yourself. When you come into God's presence, you realize, you say, God, I'm just a sinful person. That without your grace and your mercy, I can't even stand here and worship you. Amen? So never forget, it doesn't matter how much time you have as a Christian, or how what things that you can do for Christ, you know, or your position that you are, it will never be enough to stand into God's presence and say, I have something to offer. No, we don't. Amen? So, Isaiah sits, and then he says, woe me to me. Another, and a different translation will say, woe is me, right? It's like, I'm amazed. I'm like, I'm shaking. You know, I'm amazed. I'm shaking. I'm undone. And then he says here, I am ruined. Like, I have nothing, right? For I'm a man, I know who I am. I'm a sinful man, and I live among people that are sinful. And then it says this, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Notice the King there, it's you know, the capital K, right? Which means, who's the King? He's in the presence of that King. Not in the presence of the early king. Not in the presence of Uzziah's son, who was the king. No, he says, I'm in the presence of the real King. Amen? So now, you need to understand this revelation. You come into God's presence. You realize how big it is. But then you realize how small you are. But then, even there, God allows you to see his glory. Amen. Even in the midst of your sinful nature, he is good and kind enough to encounter his presence and to see the King. Amen. So just imagine what that revelation did to Isaiah. He was worried about Israel, future Israel, and then he sees God in the throne, and he says, can you imagine how he failed? And says, he is still in the throne. Amen? He is still God. Everything is going to be okay because he is God, and my eyes have seen the King. Amen? Now, my third point is this, is that not only we have to, when we come to God's presence, we not only have to realize who we are and who he is, but also, this is what happens in his presence. When we are in his presence, the presence of God, point number three, we see how good God is. Amen? We see how good God is. I don't know about you, but when you come, you know, maybe you come, you're having a hard week, you know, but you come into worship, Sunday comes, you come here into worship, and you lift your hands, right? And you begin to experience God's glory, God's presence in your life. And then all of a sudden you start seeing God's goodness, you know? Out of the things that can be happening in your life, you begin to see and realize how good our God is, amen? And the things that he has done for your life, and the salvation that you have received in him, amen? Then nothing compares because he's still good, even though maybe my world is falling apart, but he is still good, amen? Because this world is not my home, amen? This world is just, we're just passing through to get to a real home, amen? And we begin to see how good God is, and we begin to remember who we were before encountering God, before God came into our hearts. And then we can, God gives us a reason to say, God, you are good, because I was this, I was an alcoholic, I was this kind of person. God, but you saved me, and I can be here and stand here, and even though my world is falling apart, but I know that you're still the throne. I know you're still God, and I know who I am. Amen? Amen. So we see how good God is. So let's see what happens to Isaiah chapter verses 6 and 7. It says this. Then one of the seraphims, one of the angels, flew to me with the live coal in his hand, which he has taken from with tongues from the altar. With that he touched my mouth and say, see, this is what the angel said. See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Amen? So this is what happened. He is there. He realizes how big God is. He understands and who he is. And then God is good enough, kind enough to forgive his sin and to say, I know you are a sinful, I know you dwell, and you know you're not perfect, but I'm kind enough and good enough to forgive you and to restore you. Amen? That happens in the presence of God when you come in his presence. You can come and you can feel, when you're broken, when you have sin, you come into his presence, you ask for forgiveness, you realize who you are, and you ask for forgiveness, and then you walk out of this place with a different perspective because God's Spirit has forgiven you and give you the restoration that you needed in his presence. Amen? Amen. So to be in God's presence is very important for us, for our lives, for a spiritual life. Amen? Let's say Psalm 16:11 says. It says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Amen? Amen. David is saying, you know, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy. It's a joy to live in his presence. Amen? And it says, and the pleasures of living with you forever. I know that sometimes life can be hard. I know that sometimes following God is hard. But he describes it as my pleasure to live with you forever. Amen? Why is that? Because in his presence we can receive forgiveness. In his presence we can receive the grace that we need to continue on into our lives. Amen? So, don't ever, let me say it this way. We have to appreciate the fact that we can come here every Sunday, that we have a place to worship God. We need to appreciate that we can come into God's presence to receive that salvation, to receive that forgiveness. And like I say in the beginning, you know, you can experience God's presence God is not limited to here, but like I say, it's very special. And the Bible commands us to come together and to worship Him as His church. Amen? Because there's something special. Something special. God's presence can be, fill in a great way, in a bigger way, I should say, when many of us are worshiping Him and bringing Him praise. Amen? We can feel, we can have restoration, we can have healing in our lives, you know, because God's presence. So it's, we can receive a lot of benefits in His presence. Amen? So I just want to close with this idea or this statement here before we go into the communion and to the time of worship. Is this, that when we are in His presence and humbly acknowledge our condition, it is there that God, that we see God's goodness in us through His forgiveness and restoration. So this is the right way to come into His presence. You have nothing to add to Him. You're just a sinful person. By God's grace, you're being forgiven. Amen? And you need to always remind yourself who you are and how good He is and who He is and what He has done for you. Amen. If you fail in this area, you fail in recognizing this, it will be very hard for you to experience God's presence. Why? Because the Bible says that God opposes to the prideful. And the Bible says that the humble heart God will never reject or despise. I don't know how to say it. You understand the picture of it? God will always receive a humble heart. And that humble heart will receive restoration and forgiveness. But if you come into God's presence and you think you're something, you know, because of, you're a pastor, because you're a leader, because you are, I don't know, whatever you are, if you come to that mentality, you can never experience God's presence. Because you don't have nothing to add. And I don't have nothing to add, amen, to His presence. It's only by His presence, only His presence. He is everything, amen? So, I want to encourage you for the next minutes that we're going to be worshiping, that you come into His presence in the right way. I want to encourage you, you know, as we worship God, as we go into communion, as you are there in your seats, I want to encourage you to open your heart, come into His presence, acknowledge who you are and the need that you have of His presence and His forgiveness, and come and worship Him, open your heart, and you will receive His presence, amen? You will receive what you need because He knows you and He knows what you need.